going to talk about this morning, the Lord laid on my heart a couple of weeks ago. And I mean, it's just amazing to me when the scriptures say, seek him and you shall find him. Draw near to him, he shall draw near to you. And I would pray, okay, Lord, I want to be close to you. And I hear Scotty preach, meditate on that word. That's the key, is the word. And I hear Scotty's voice telling me, Brother Scotty, I know that might not have been an original statement, but you brought it into my life, where the will of God is known, faith starts. Also, where the will of God is known is where the will of God is. Do you want to know the will of God? Pick up the Bible. That's his will. And you might say, well, I don't know what he wants for me to do in my life for details. You start reading that word, and the Lord starts giving you details through the Holy Spirit, the divine messenger. And that's not what my message is about this morning, but it's just, I'm 61 years old, and I feel like a 15-year-old born-again person. Every time that I talk about that and think about it. And the Lord quickened this to my heart, this my spirit this week, and I was praying and at work, and there's a lot of noise around there, and I'm thinking, you know, I got earplugs in, and I'm praying real loud, and, you know, I'm thinking, well, what if somebody hears me? And then that's my carnal mind thinking. And my spiritual spirit part of me said, well, what if they do? Maybe they'll ask you, and you'll get to say something about Jesus to somebody. Because most people don't come around me except the one guy that works real close to me in his on his truck. But anyway, what I want to talk about this morning is the power of the blood. I was raised and went to church in an era whenever, and the so-called denomination, I say so-called, I mean the denomination that my family went to, we got taught and heard a lot about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a very good reason for that. And I'm glad that we're here in this church this morning too, because even though we hear a lot of messages about prosperity and about walking in love, those are for the born again. But we need not to forget how we got there and how it happened. And it all starts in the blood. The blood is the only thing that gives power to the gospel and our teaching and our preaching and our believing. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the blood that makes the word alive. There's no other book in this world where the words are more alive than the Holy Bible, God's voice on print. It's the blood that terrorizes and terrifies Satan and every demon in the depths of hell. It's the blood that sets the captives free. It's the blood that guarantees my salvation and your salvation. And everyone's salvation if they so choose. And it's the blood that paid for my healing and your healing. It's the power of the blood. We're also saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing. There's an old hymnal. You know, I was raised in church where the churches I went to, they used all hymnals like a lot of churches do, old hymnals. And I don't have anything against them. I like them. But I used to think when I was a kid, man, I get tired of hearing these songs all over and over again. But you know what? Whenever the Lord dropped this in my spirit, you know what went through my brain? I remember sitting in church and hearing. And everyone, I mean, I went to several different churches in the time I was being raised. Every one of them sang the song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I still remember the words. I can sing the first verse of it. And if the second or third one is put in front of me, I can sing it and remember it. And I thank God for that nowadays. Because it puts something in my brain, as we're taught here, that later on, years later, and I'm talking about this was 40 years ago. And now, it's just like, April the 20th, 2014, at this altar, has happened all over again inside me. And every time I think about it. And the only reason it's like it is because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the blood. We cannot forget that. We cannot let it become something that's just something over here we know about, we don't address and we don't see and we don't feel and we don't talk about it. Because a bloodless religion is a dead religion. I'm going to prove that to you in Scripture. We're not saved by church membership. It's good to come to church. That's where most people a lot of people will only hear the gospel is in church. But church membership, attending church, won't save you. Only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you will hear about it there if it's a scriptural, spirit-filled church. We're not saved by water baptism. There's a belief out there that believes that. It is good to be baptized. It's symbolic. But we're not saved by water baptism. No one's saved by joining any kind of fraternal order or club or organization. No one's saved by doing good deeds or good works. No one is saved by your good morals, being good to other people and giving. No one's saved by religion or denomination. We're only saved one way, by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can hang a cross around your neck and have it tattooed anywhere on your body. I had a young man tell me one time I was witnessing to several years ago. And I was telling him about Jesus, and he held his arm out and he said, "I got Jesus with me always right here. But by the fruit of his life, I figured pretty much he wasn't born again." He was talking to me, his life was upside down, turned around. So I asked him, "Are you born again? Do you have Jesus in your heart?" He said, "I got Jesus with me right here," and he had a cross tattoo. And I said, "Son, no, it doesn't work that way." I said, "Your tattoo, I said, it's good that you see that and remind yourself of Jesus, but," I said, "it's what happened on that cross that makes the difference. The sacrificial blood, Jesus been sacrificed for the sin debt that we would have had to pay. Because the only payment for sin is death." A lot of people think that God is a bad God because his judgment upon people in the Bible and even nowadays, it's not necessarily just his judgment. It is justice judgment. Things have been broken. Laws have been broken. And people are guilty. The only difference between applying God's law to your life and man's law, if you go out here and speed on the highway and the law, the authorities, the police do not catch you, this means you're not convicted. That doesn't mean you're not guilty. God sees everything. God knows everything about us. His word. So therefore, whenever we sin, and we have sinned, and we were born into sin, and I'll point that out to you in a few minutes, we are convicted because we are guilty, because God knows. I was telling Brother Scott, I was reading in the book of Ezekiel the other day. The Lord led me to read in it. I hardly ever read there because I used to, wasn't drawn to prophecy that much. But when I got to reading it, and it's about prophecy, I got to understanding something. God was telling Ezekiel what to say and what to do to the people of Israel and tell them what was going to happen because judgment was coming up on them because of their sin, their idolatry. And the more I read, you know what more stuck out to me more than anything? It wasn't that there was a wrathful, judgmental God. It was that there was a just God. And he was hurt. By Ezekiel's time, and he was prophesying about their going into captivity. By that time, if you read the Bible much at all, you'll see from the first 5, 6, 7 books, especially up to Judges, the children of Israel were very rebellious. Mankind today is very rebellious. God's judgment is not because he's sitting up there waiting to throw judgment at somebody just because he can. It's because God's will and God's laws have been broken. Man caused it. Man started all the way back in Genesis. We give Satan the tool to come against us, and if we did not have the grace and the love and the mercy, Sister Teresa's teaching about the mercy today. Thank God for his mercy. Because mercy is love that leads to grace, that leads to forgiveness. And God's forgiveness covers all your sin. But it doesn't come but one way. The power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If time and Jesus had not done what God's will had been, I don't know what we'd had, but he did, and we got what we got. God made 8 covenants with man throughout the Bible. The 8th one, the new covenant, is the more better one. It is sure. Because the first 7, man was so heavily involved in it, if he didn't do what he's supposed to, the covenant was null and void by him, not God. God was keeping his end up. But man brought judgment on himself by breaking his covenant with God. The 8th covenant, the blood covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ sacrificing himself on the cross of Calvary, cannot be broken. Man does not empower it. Man is only participating in it. And if he does, it's for his own good. God made a sure, and when I say sure, I'm not just using this word lightly. I'm talking about most assuredly, cannot be broken, cannot be gotten out of. And there's no way anybody can do anything about it except to refuse it. A lot of people say I'm a man or I'm a woman of faith. You've heard that term, I'm sure, a lot. I know I have. What's their faith then? Who? What? A lot of people say, well, I'm a good Christian. Good Christian, bad Christian. Okay, the word Christian is supposed to mean Christ-like. So, if you use the word Christian or good Christian loosely in your life, you need to be real careful. And I know I'm not just talking to people here. Out on the internet and all. But it doesn't matter who you are. I'm a living example. I've said it before, I've testified it. From the time I can barely remember, I can barely remember walking, I was like Aiden's age. My mom and daddy's, and my life was up and down, up and down. I have one of them in my life 1 week or month, and one of them in my life next week or month. They was constantly back and forth, in and out. And then something changed, and we moved completely out of state to South Carolina. And, buddy, my whole life just went from here to here, being a kid. My mom and daddy was always there. We went to church every time to church. My mom and daddy was in ministry. They ministered to the young people. As far as being a kid, I had it made. And I thought that I was born again. Because, like I said, I remembered saying the prayer. I remembered wanting to be like everybody else, but you have to be careful. So I lived all my life up to age of 14 when whatever happened to my daddy's life, I'm not trying to spill his life out here in public, that we quit going to church. One of the first things I remember, because I was starting to be a teenager, I was starting to draw away from the lifestyle of the blood that my mom and daddy lived under. The power of the blood. And the reason for that is, I know now, is the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was not evident in my life. Therefore, I was not born again. When a person is born again, there's a change to them. That change is the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard it said before, when God touches a man or a woman, they are never the same. The reason is because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That more sure covenant enters into your heart. When you believe that and God sees it, there's a change in a person. I don't care who you are. A lot of people, it's just like that. And a lot of people, it might take just a little while. But there, inside, there's a change. When that blood takes part of your life, it changes you. Because now you're a new creature. So if somebody says, I'm a person of faith, that's good. I'd like to change it a little bit and say, I'm a person of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His shed blood is shed symbolically and forever over my life and my heart because he paid the price that I would have to pay when I stand in front of God for the sin debt that's in my life. Now, lost people will tell you lots of times, well, I'm a good person. They don't understand how the sin is virused and poisoned into their life. It started at Adam. Adam was a man. God had Adam and Eve set up in the Garden of Eden. They needed nothing. As close to a perfect world as he could give them. And through rebellion and disobedience, They allowed sin to enter into their life. And the power is in the blood. It says so in the Bible. If you reject the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Beth, you put John 3:36 up there, please. This is what you reject, and this is what happens. It says, he that believes on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The word abideth means continuously, always. That means that person, when they reject, when the Holy Spirit comes to them and says, starts telling them that this is true, they need to believe this, and they reject it, they're not only bringing the wrath of God on themselves, it says abideth. It's going to go generations behind them. One reason, because they did this. Second reason is because in the act of their rejection, the people behind them, their children, their grandchildren, is going to know this and see this. If they don't see the very act happening, they'll see it in their lives, because they're going to live a life of sin. The lost person has to understand Adam and Eve brought sin into this world, and we are all descendants. Therefore, when they had sin, they passed it on. Their children passed it on, all the way down thousands of years later. The virus and the poison of sin in the bloodline of mankind is so strong, it's still happening today, thousands of years later. Thousands. The Bible says in Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. For it is the blood that makes the atonement of sin. The life of the flesh is in the blood. That is the verse in the Bible that explains how come sin was in Adam and it's still in carnal man all the way up to this day. The life of the blood is in the flesh. The flesh was passed on. People were born, generated. The only thing that touched that sin is the covering God gave the people of the children of Israel after, it's not my message, there's a lot of other things in the Old Testament. When the children of Israel, after Abraham, God made a covenant because he found favor in Abraham and faith in Abraham that he wanted to honor. From then until Jesus, there was only a covering. Jesus. And why is that? Well, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Adam's flesh was poisoned by sin. Jesus' blood is not. Jesus did not have man blood in him. He did not have Mary's blood in him. He did not have Joseph's blood in him. He was conceived by miraculously conceivement of the Holy Spirit. God used Mary for Jesus to be born into this world the same way that every other man is, and to live a life just like every other man with God's blood in his body. Amen. I dare say that I could just about tell you Jesus never so much as pricked his finger until he went and started going to the cross to fulfill the scriptures and the covenant for us. I wasn't there. I don't know. But there was no blood shed except for us. And he didn't shed his blood till he started his path to the cross. And when he shed that blood, he shed the blood same as God shed blood. We all know that if you love somebody, you'll give your life for them. Sometimes you might have to think about it a second. I don't know. But when it comes to people real close to you, you won't think. If your child's in the way of harm, you'll be there in an instant. In the specter of time, God was there in an instant with the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And a lot of people don't want to understand that. They say, that's weird. There's a lot of Christians that don't want to talk about the blood because it's bloody. Yeah, it is. Because mankind disobeyed, God's judgment is, for the only shedding the blood is remission of sin. That's the payment. And now the Lord Jesus Christ has shed his blood, perfect blood. It covers all sin for all time. It not only covers the sins we committed, which is what a lot of people think about, it covers the sin we were born into. That's awesome. There's no other way that could be broken. We have to understand that. Without that, there's no other way that can be broken. The sin debt cannot be broken except by that way. It can be covered if God gives you like he gave the children of Israel. But God got tired of that. He loved us so much, he said, I want to give you something that's going to last. In effect, he gave himself. It's exactly what happened. Yes, there's Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But he gave the best he had to give because he knew when he did, mankind had a way out. Like the song says, what can make me whole again? You know what that verse means? We're now whole again. We're back to where it started in the Garden of Eden, except we're living in a cursed world. Now, one day this earth's going to be redeemed, and it'll be perfect like it was back then. You know who gets to live in it? The saints, the born again. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you want to go and read just the inkling of what it's going to be like, read Revelations 21 and 22. And it tells about the New Jerusalem. The mind is, what we can imagine, it's not going to even be close. Now, like I said, the Bible says in Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. For it is the blood that makes the atonement of sin. Our flesh and muscles and tendons and our body all stay pretty much in one spot. The blood circulates every 23 seconds. If your blood's not flowing, what happens? Your body dies. The same thing can be said in the spiritual realm. If the blood of the Lord Jesus is not flowing, what happens? You die. A bloodless religion, a bloodless theology, and all the word theology means is the study of the nature of God. A bloodless religion, meaning without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a bloodless theology is a dead one. Has no power, has no effect, will come to nothing, will do you no good. You can believe everything you want to in the Bible, every single concept, precept, idea, word that God's got. If you don't believe the blood and apply it to your heart, it's going to do you no good. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. I've seen it some. There's a teaching that's been out for a long time. I seen this happening back in the late 70s and 80s. And I heard preachers preaching about it, and I didn't think too much about it because by 1979, 80, and 81, I was already out into the world, and I didn't pay nothing going on what was going on with church and all that stuff, but I'd heard some about it. There's teachings out now, and they've been around for a while, but they're getting ramped up more and more, that says you just pretty much have to adjust to your sin. You don't have to confess it. You get a counselor and help you decipher what's wrong with you and why you are the way you are, because you're, you know, something happened in your generations before you, or your mother and your dad was this way, and that's a lie straight from hell. My wife, April, is one true witness of that because of her lie. She's nothing like the way she grew up. And before she was born again, she was not that close to the way she grew up. And now that she's born again, she's nothing like that. I mean, that's just the way mankind is. Satan's got a lot of people deceived. He's got people deceived in the church. And I'm not talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the church of the assembly like we have here. There's people in churches all over this country that come by hundreds and thousands in great big buildings. And I'm not saying all of them are this way, but I know some of them are because I've heard it and I've seen it. And they'll sing and they'll praise and they'll preach, but you don't hear much about the blood. If you don't have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ flowing through the veins of the church, number one, it's disunified. Number two, it's dead or dying. That's what it means in Revelation, which talks about the church of Laodiceans. It's apostate. It means it's, there's, it's got, it looks like it, but no, it ain't nothing like it. Then, of course, you got some that's a little closer. They want to be like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, some like in a gray area. There's no gray area with God. For the sake of this message, there's only one white area that was washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my heart and every born-again Christian heart in this world. Excuse me. When we take the Holy Communion worthily, we've done it at least, I know, that twice here lately that I can think of. And I thank Brother Scotty. I did. All of my life, until God dropped this in my heart, I knew Holy Communion was holy. It means it's sacred. You've got to treat it that way. But I didn't understand exactly why until the Holy Spirit showed me this. And it's not like I'm learning something that's been hid in a corner. It's out there for all of us to find. Our Holy Communion is us symbolically. When we drink the wine, it's a symbolic blood transfusion. Now, there is a belief out there, and it is not true, that when you drink that wine, it turns into Jesus' blood inside your body. That's not true. That's not the supernatural power of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you eat that wafer bread thing, and he says, "This is my body, eat it," it does not change into his flesh inside your body. It's a symbolic act. And what worthily means is that you give reverence and recognition and honor to the fact that the blood, the sacrificial blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed for you and you're born again. A lost person does not need to take Holy Communion. A person that's playing Christian does not need to take Holy Communion. Because taking it worthily means you're already born again. And now you're honoring God through this symbolic act. Because Jesus told his disciples when he did it the first time at the Last Supper, "This is my blood of the New Testament." You know what he says after that? "Drink ye all of it." Now that don't mean you drink half the container, whatever, and set it down. No, what he's saying is this is symbolic. "Drink ye all of my blood for the New Testament's sake." This is going to be my testament. I'm going to die for you. My blood's going to pay for your sins. Don't get nearly there and say, "No, I don't want it." Because then John chapter 3 and verse 36 takes effect into your life. And Jesus said earlier in John chapter 3 that, I forget the verse, I think it's 17, he came not into the world, condemned the world, but through the world, through him, the world may be saved. And then God says, and Jesus said, only in verse 36, "If you reject what I have come to do for you, the wrath of God abides on you." So if you take Holy Communion and you're not born again, you're taking it unworthily. And when you take it unworthily, John chapter 3, verse 36, will start working in your life until you become born again and you take it worthily. If you're born again and you do not give God the reverence and Jesus the reverence and the honor of shedding his blood for the price he paid, you're taking Holy Communion unworthily. What I mean by that, some people will take it, and you say, "Well, how do I know this? I don't know people." No, but I know that there's some people that come to church and they sit on the pew and that's all they do. I'm not saying they ain't born again. They may be born again. But that's all that they do, and that's not all what God wants us to do. So therefore, if a born-again person does not in their heart give the recognition and the honor that goes to this, they're drinking Holy Communion unworthily. Beth, will you put up... No, I'm sorry, I ain't got there yet. Another thing about the symbolic act of the Holy Communion, it is the power. It is a symbolic act of the power of the blood. Remember what I said earlier. The life-giving power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ brings me my healing. It brings me my prosperity. It brings me my salvation. It brings me my atonement. It makes me whole again with God. That communion, that Holy Communion, that act we do with the little cup and the little wafer is where we're honoring God because Jesus did that for us. And we're honoring all the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most Christians don't understand the power that they have if they're truly born again. I didn't. When I first started going to church here, I'd never heard much about this power that we have. And it's not like you're some kind of big magician or power. It's supernatural power. It is loving power. It's the power to love whenever you don't want to love. It's the power not to steal when you want to steal. And you might say, well, I'm born again, I don't steal. Listen, where I work at, they throw stuff down on the ground. Them people beat all I've ever seen. Good stuff. And I don't touch it until they throw it in the garbage can. And I done asked the supervisor, and he said, if it's in that garbage can, you can have it. So if it goes in the garbage can, and I don't put it there, I can have it. But if it's laying on the ground, I'm not going to touch it. You know why? Because it's so close to stealing, I am not going to dishonor the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. Now, that's for stealing. Same thing goes with any sin that you could commit, including rejecting, including not giving honor. Now, like I said, Jesus told the disciples, this is my blood, drink ye all of it. The reason we're supposed to do that is what I said before. Adam's blood was poisoned with sin, the virus of sin, and it still thrives today. And Jesus was saying, take in the supernatural, life-changing power that I'm going to give through my blood that drives out the virus of sin, that drives out the virus of sickness and disease. If you're born again, and especially when you take Holy Communion worthily, you are fortifying symbolically what the blood is doing in your life. Disease, sickness cannot stay. Sin is gone. You now have a way back to the Father. You now have a way of grace that if you slip, you can go back to the Father. Before, there was only the law. You broke the law, you were guilty. There was a price to pay. If the law was serious enough, you had to pay with death. There's nothing that would else that would fix that. Beth, would you put up 1 Corinthians 10:16, please? The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? When we take Holy Communion, we're taking that power symbolically. God's already placed it in our life through the blood. But we're symbolically honoring God. How many people in here would you purposefully go out and hurt the person you love? Would you smack your kid? Would you punch your wife in the face? Then why would we hurt the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would a person, born again person, hurt the Lord Jesus Christ by not honoring His blood and the gift that He gives us? The point is, when we are born again Christians, take the Holy Communion, Satan is reminded that he's defeated, that he's a defeated enemy because of that symbolic, solemn declaration that we're making. He's reminded that I can't touch them. I can't cause them to live like they are about to bust hell wide open because the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood that He give for us breaks all of that. Satan's reminded every day. Every time we do it, it's so strong. So therefore, the Holy Communion symbolically gives us power through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being born again, it gives us power over sickness and disease, and it gives us power over Satan. I understand now why Brother Scotty preaches so hard and so many times, like he does. Because darkness is not going to prevail. But in the world we live in, it looks like it is. When we're not born again, the devil is fighting a war to send, cause us to send everybody that's not born again, the lost. He's fighting a war to cause them to live a life that's going to send them straight to hell and torment. When you get born again, his war becomes only a battle. And his battle only becomes a battle because the born again led him through his deceit. They won't believe what the word says, that he's defeated. And they won't put it in their heart and hang on to it. And I'm not just talking about any particular person or any group of people. I'm as guilty as anybody could be being born again. I have slipped. I have failed. But praise God, because of the blood and the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can go back and say, Father, I repent. Help me. Give me what I need. The blood presents a shield around us. And whenever we honor that with the Holy Communion, that Satan is reminded of it, and he can't do anything about it. Diseases are conquered. Sickness leaves your body. Now, Beth, would you put, I don't think I give you this one. It's Hebrews 12:24 up there, please. Blood also speaks. I'm fixing to say something a lot of people ain't going to like, but it's not going to be anybody in this church, I know. It should not be any born-again Christian. It says in Genesis that God told Cain, your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. And what's it say? Cain is guilty. And the result was Cain was punished, just punishment. He was cursed the rest of his life, and so was his descendants. God will curse those who shed innocent blood. In this country, I hate to say it. Let me read this scripture. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, Abel's blood cries out and God hears it, and God administers just punishment. How much more better is Jesus' blood crying out? Because he's so much better, his blood is, than the blood of man, Abel. Jesus' blood is crying out every day for those that are lost. Here, I've got something for you. Every time a lost person hears somebody preach, or hears it on television, or hears it on the radio, or they're witness to, Jesus is reaching out to them. His blood is reaching out to them. The gift of the power of his blood. And of course, when they reject it, they become hard-hearted even more. And then John chapter 3, verse 36 starts working in their life. In this country, it's legal for women who don't want their babies to have an abortion. God forbid. I'm not putting anybody down that's ever done that or went through that. I have no idea what it'd be like. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. I just said it. God said, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Innocent blood, murdered man. How much do you think the blood of all the babies, and there's millions of them in this country, cries out to our Father God in heaven? He's not going to just let it go. There's going to be a curse assigned with it, just like there was Cain. There's a curse on this country. It's not happened yet. Because of this one particular thing. I don't know what exactly it's going to be. It's not going to be good. It's going to be just, and it's going to fit the crime. But it'll take place and be released right sometime after the rapture of the church and the saints. Because God's wrath is going to be poured out on this whole world. And this country is no different. Now, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ unifies. What do I mean by that? Denomination, it unifies the church. We're all members of one body. The blood is what relates us to each other. When we're born again, when we take Holy Communion, and we do that, especially in this small body, and anybody, any other born-again person all over the world, we are unified together through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ into His body, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which one day He will present to God pure and perfect. I thank God for this church. I thank God for each and every one of y'all in this church that I get to attend and work with and minister with. We don't have strife hardly at all in this church, very, very little. Do you know why that is? Because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is on our lives, each and every one of us, and it relates us and brings us together. I know what it is. Y'all don't have to tell me. I don't want to cause strife in this church because I love this church. I love y'all. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be the one that sows discord among the brethren. I'm going to take the power of the Lord, blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to apply it to my life and do the best I can with it. And I know that's the way y'all feel. Because if it wasn't, denomination would set in. Carnalism would set in. Strife would set in. Man, I've seen strife in church. You just would not believe. I've told you about some of it. I mean, it's just, if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ would get together as they do in the body, and I'm not talking about just physically in one place, if they all would become one accord at the same time, on the same page, this country would be turned around overnight. It was just like God hears the blood of the innocent that's shed. God hears the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts even more. And whenever all that comes together, Brother Scotty's preached and taught us. That's the reason there's a corporate anointing in church that you can't get sitting in your living room. Even if you're born again, it might make you feel good, but you will not get what the Holy Spirit's got for you when you're in church united with the believers that are united the same way you are, related by what? The blood. So what happens if we take the blood away? What do we have? We have a holy book that cannot be displaced. God's Word is God's Word. We have people gathered together. And we have people practicing, and churches, I'm sorry to say, practicing godliness and lacking the form thereof. In other words, they're playing church. If the blood is not flowing, the life of the flesh is in the blood. We are the flesh, symbolically, of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the blood is not flowing in our lives and in our church, in our faith, as people call it, religion, whatever you call it, it's dead. It's simple as that. But I know in our church here at Faithway Christian Center, I praise God, like I said, for each and every one of y'all. Because I know no matter how messed up my work life has been, we don't have a lot of messed up life at home. Me and April get along pretty good. Sometimes me and the boys get into it. But I don't have a messed up life when I get here. My life is as close to perfect as it can be. That's not because of this building, although this building is anointed and is sacred. You know why that is? Because the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Y'all help me with that. At times I help y'all with that. That's what connects us. That is the power. Jesus told Peter, flesh and blood have not made this. When Peter told him, thou art the Messiah, thou art the Christ. Flesh and blood have not told you this. Holy Spirit has revealed it to you. And whatever, you notice, it's kind of odd, he said right after that, whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That is the key given to the church. The church are the born-again saints. And what causes us to have power is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to use that. His blood is what we can back Satan off with and say, look, I've got the blood on my life. And I'm going to have to stop because we're running out of time. I thought I'd get all this in here, but I ain't. So next time I'm up here, I'm going to finish it. But if there's anybody that can hear the sound of my voice this morning, if the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is evident in your life, and somebody says you don't look saved or act saved, they're not judging you. They're judging your fruit. And if that's happening to a person, you might need to go somewhere and get with God and get it straightened out. Now, don't get me wrong. We all make mistakes. But I can be around every single person in this room, and I can tell. And it's not because of what you say or do. It's because of what I feel in here. I'm connected to you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I got this morning. Anybody got something they'd like to say? Or